Hello, my name is Manu Garcia and welcome to the New Developer Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, newdeveloperpodcast.com and more, including Google Play and TuneIn Radio. Thank you to all the listeners who have jumped in the podcast, and I want to give a big shout out to our listeners in the United Kingdom. Thank you for listening. And remember that the best way to support it is to share it on your social networks. My guest today is Sam Moss. He is a former lab technician who has some pretty interesting stories about his time there. Without anything else to say, here he is. Sam Moss works on internal applications at a large insurance company. Before getting into software development, he worked as a lab technician. But there is more, and to talk to us about that, I welcome him today. Thank you, Sam, for being here.
Hey, Manu. Thanks for having me.
I would like to talk to you about your background in science. If I am not mistaken, you have a background in neuroscience?
Yeah.
Some of the descriptions in your resume are just beyond my understanding. So would you mind telling us about your background as a scientist?
Yeah, I was never really a scientist. I never got my PhD, which I consider that a real scientist, but when I was getting my undergraduate degree, I thought brains were really cool, and the school I went to had a nice little neuroscience department, and I just met some people and I really enjoyed it. So I did it. When I was in school, I volunteered in the lab because that's sort of what you have to do. And when it came time to graduate, everyone was applying to graduate school. So I applied to a bunch of graduate schools and I didn't get into a single one. I ended up working as a lab technician, which is not a very glamorous job. You're exposed to carcinogens and radioactive material all day, and the pay is pretty crummy. Mm-hmm. And the first company that I worked for went under, and then the second company I worked for, I got fired because I wasn't very good at my job. So it turned out I wasn't a very good scientist. I liked learning about the stuff, but the day-to-day work wasn't great. So I decided that it really wasn't for me, and I still really love science, but working in it is not really something that ended up working out for me.
Okay, interesting. And for how long were you a lab technician?
All told, I think it was about only about a year and a half professionally. So there were some gaps in there where I was doing some other stuff. Yeah, the first stint was about 9 months. The second stint was another 9 months. So it wasn't actually very long.
And what was your favorite part as a lab technician? You know, if there was any.
Yeah, there were certain points that were cool. I guess learning new stuff was pretty interesting, like learning a new technique or doing some... I enjoyed the data analytics part. Well, and this is one thing that I kind of looked back on sort of retroactively once I started coding, is I looked back and I realized that I enjoyed doing the parts at the computer more than the parts at the lab bench. Like as a lab technician as a real researcher, most researchers spend almost all their time at the computer. As a lab technician, I probably spent maybe 25 to 50% of my time at the computer, and then only 50% actually doing experiments. A lot of it was, you know, doing calculations, doing data analysis, things like that. And I realized that I just sort of enjoyed the parts of the computer more than the parts where I was mixing up chemicals or doing that sort of stuff. So that sort of, I think, influenced my shift into coding. There were enjoyable parts, but there were a lot of parts that were difficult and stressful and very detail oriented, like to this obsessive place, to this obsessive amount. And I wouldn't say I'm detail oriented to an obsessive amount or to the degree that's required for someone to be a successful lab technician or scientist.
What was the most interesting or the most crazy thing that you had to do as a technician, as a lab technician? Is there any, you know?
So research is actually like pretty grisly. The first place that I worked at, I only had to do this one time, but we worked with mice. Well, I was going to tell you something sort of grisly, but I'll just tell you. So when I worked in a lab at the university, the research that we were doing was looking at the effects of inhalant abuse. And we use this model organism called C. elegans. They're these tiny, tiny, tiny little worms. They're about a millimeter across, but they have this, they're used a lot in research. So we would take the worms and we would expose them to a chemical called toluene, which is, you know, when you hear about people like huffing gasoline or huffing paint, like this is the chemical that they're getting high off of. And then we would look at them in this, this microscope called a laser scanning confocal microscope, which, instead of using just normal white light to look at the sample, it actually shines a laser on the sample. And because these worms are translucent, we could actually image them while they were alive. Okay. So whenever people asked me what I was doing in the lab, I would tell them that we were taking these worms, we were getting them high, and then we were shooting lasers at them, which made it sound a lot, it was pretty cool research, but I think it sounded like a lot more dramatic.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it actually involved just like, you know, just like, you can't even see the worms, and you put a drop of chemical on this thing and you seal them up and you just like wait like 20 minutes and then you put them in the microscope and it's a lot of just like fumbling around. But yeah, I like to think of these you know, totally messed up worms in there and look like a laser gun, right? I'm shooting them.
and what was the other story about the mice?
Yes. So at my first actual job, this is a little grisly, so I don't know if you want to put this in the podcast, but like, well, we'll you know, see. We would get these rats and we would do things to them, whether it was looking at how certain drugs affected their pain tolerance or looking at anti-cancer drugs. And then inevitably, you know, you would have to look at their organs. And you know, one of the things about research is you need to control everything, and you also need to control their time of death. So if you have 50 rats in this experiment, they all need to die at the exact same time so that you can harvest all their organs at the same time and you can, you know, turn the organs into slides. And so what this involved, and this is kind of like the entry level job where everyone else is doing important stuff, is they would essentially pull out this big box of rats. You would pour them into a plexiglass box, and then you would turn on the plexiglass box was connected to a carbon dioxide tank, and you would just turn the CO2 tank on and essentially suffocate like 50 rats at a time. And they would just keep coming. So I was sitting there with this tank of animals, and you'd open the top, you'd dump these poor little rats in. And I'm like, I mean, I'm smiling, but this is like, at the time it was really hard to do. And it's still kind of sick to think about. But you know, you dump these little rats in and you turn the gas on, and then, you know, about 2 minutes later, like they're all dead. And you just do that like over and over and over again. It's just like pretty morbid stuff. So I wouldn't say that was the coolest thing that I did, but.
Did you do that multiple times then?
No, luckily I only had to do that one time, because when I was actually in the lab, we usually got the rats when they're already dead. But
okay,
that was pretty unsettling. And,
well, at least I would assume you're not afraid of rats anymore. If you were,
no, but I probably should be. Like, they have a reason to take revenge out on
me. Oh, there you go. That's your horror movie screenplay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and actually, my next question was, you know, what was the worst part of being a technician? I don't know if killing a bunch of rats qualifies as a very bad part. I mean, it's part of the job, but, you know, go ahead.
That part was pretty isolated. Luckily, I didn't have to do that very often. Unfortunately, you know, research has, well, as a lab technician, your ability to sort of ascend in the world of research is pretty minimal. Like, unless you have a PhD, you can't really become an actual researcher. So, I had sort of hoped to go back and get my PhD, but, you know, it's a long time and it's a lot of work, and you really have to have your heart in it. And if you don't 100% have your heart in your work, it makes it really hard to do. And, you know, it turned out, you know, the money's not great because a lot of it comes from government funding. And after the recession, government funding to research, even now, I think is, it's hard. It's really hard for established labs to get. So coming in as a lab technician was pretty difficult. Also, as a lab tech, you don't really get to do the work that you want to do. You're sort of just a pair of hands, like a warm body. You're pretty replaceable. You maybe build like a couple skills, but you don't really get to contribute to anything. You just sort of learn how to do, at least in the position I was in, I don't know if everyone's like this, but you know, you just sort of learn a technique or two, and then you just do that sort of day in and day out over and over and over and over again. And science, while science is really intellectually stimulating, being a lab technician and just like, you know, doing PCR twice a week, every week for the rest of your life, or, you know, doing immunohistochemistry is, I don't know, I just didn't find it super rewarding. And
Okay.
So yeah, I on the whole, there were some parts that were good, but on the whole, I just found that it wasn't something that fit me very well.
When did you decide you no longer wanted to keep doing what you were doing there?
It was when I got fired from my second job.
Okay.
Yeah, I got fired in
Did you kill too many
January.
Rats?
No, that was in a clinical research lab, but I just wasn't very good at my job. And so can't blame them. So I got fired in January of 2015. And okay. I spent some time applying to more lab tech jobs, and it was like impossible to find. I applied to dozens and dozens and dozens of jobs, from academic labs to hospital labs to contract research labs, and getting any interviews. And also while I was doing it, I was just sort of dreading the idea of having to work in a lab again.
Okay.
And I knew I wanted to do something else, but I didn't really know what it was. So sort of my other big passion, I don't think I mentioned this before, but I write novels, I write fiction. During that time I was writing fiction, but you obviously can't make a living. Even if you do publish a novel, you know, it might take you 2 years to write, then you get paid like $1,000. So it's not really a viable career alternative. Yeah. So I knew I needed to look for something else, and I didn't really know what that was.
I remember you telling a story, but what made you choose a career in software development?
So I wouldn't say I really chose a career in software development. I knew that I needed something other than to work in research or to work as a lab technician. I didn't know exactly what that was going to be, but I was just sort of looking around, thinking of different things, just sort of killing time, just sort of hoping that something would fall in my lap.
Were you working at the time?
No. I was unemployed, applying to jobs, writing a little bit, but I'd finished my second manuscript and was just sort of finishing that up. But I knew I needed a job. I needed a job really quick, but I didn't know what it was going to be.
So I remember you telling a story, but what made you choose a career in software development?
I wouldn't say I actively chose a career in software development. I didn't know very much about it, but I was looking for something other than being a lab technician. And I kind of looked at a couple other things, but they didn't really pan out. So I was volunteering at this bookstore here in Minneapolis called Boneshaker Books. And I was trying to get a reading together, and I asked a friend of mine if he wanted to be part of the reading. And he was like, well, maybe, but I'm going to be pretty busy for the next couple of months, so I might not be able to come. And I was like, what are you going to be doing? And he said, I'm doing this coding bootcamp. I'd heard about coding bootcamps a lot, actually. I was on Quora, and I would always read about them. And I always had kind of thought that they were like maybe a scam, or maybe you only did them if you lived in San Francisco and you were like 19 and you were really brilliant. So he told me about this bootcamp, and he said that he was really stoked and really into it. And I was like, wow, that sounds pretty cool. So the next day, you know, I was like, well, I have nothing to lose. Like, I'll send in an application, like, see what happens. So the next morning, I did the application. Let's see. The first part of the application was just, you know, regular information. The second part were these logic puzzles, which I've always enjoyed doing. And the third part was to convert your resume into an HTML document, yes. Which I'd never really touched HTML before. So, you know, they routed us to Codecademy, and I started doing it, and I was obsessed. Like, for the next 2 days, I spent every waking moment converting my resume into HTML. And then I moved into I got my HTML resume all set up, and then I started doing JavaScript, and it was like even more, wow, this is so cool. There's all these great things you can do. And I should qualify this by saying, previously, I had actually tried to learn how to code. When I was doing research, I had tried to learn a statistical language called R, which is sort of notoriously difficult. And even worse, I tried to learn it from a book. So it was just me and this book and this pretty obscure, not obscure, but this sort of difficult, not intuitive statistical language. Yeah, there's not a lot. And, you know, it's got this very specific, like, you can't like make a game in R. Like, you have to like, you know, do ANOVAs or whatever, chi-squared tests. And I hated it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't learn it. Like, I thought it was impossibly hard. And then here I am, like, learning JavaScript with Codecademy. And I'm like, wow, this is so much more fun than the experiences I had had before. It's so much more intuitive. And so I really, really, really liked it. And then it just sort of, you know, one thing fell into another from there. And that's how I sort of got in. That's at least how I got into the boot camp. And then, you know, the logical next step was to get a job doing this stuff.
While you were waiting, did you continue learning, like in Code Academy or some other websites? Did you continue, you know, getting into coding?
I did. So I was really fortunate because I had saved up enough money at my last job that I actually didn't have to work in that period. So I think I applied in June or July, and I got into the cohort that started. Well, we started in class in October. I think we started our pre-work in September. So that whole point from June until September, I was doing things like house sitting. I was actually house sitting a lot that summer. So it was like one of the ways that I made money. It was pretty fortuitous. But yeah, I was doing Codecademy. I started out with Codecademy. We got a Code School logins in September. So I was doing a lot of Codecademy. And then I was also doing Code Wars, which is a competitive coding website. And I was doing the JavaScript problems in there. And that was really fun too. So once I had kind of blown through all the Codecademy things, I was doing a lot of Code Wars. And I think that's how I spent most of my time. But yeah, it was pretty much 4 to 6 hours every weekday working on coding.
So how was your personal experience during the program?
I really liked Prime a lot. I would say during looking back, Prime was an awesome experience. While I was in Prime, I was pretty stressed out and anxious. I wouldn't say Prime itself is a stressful or anxiety-provoking program. In fact, I think it's like incredibly good at trying to allay your anxiety and trying to make you feel good about what you're doing. But I was pretty stressed out. I was pretty sure I was never going to get a job. I was pretty sure I had made a terrible mistake a lot of the time. But looking back, I mean, it was really great. Everyone was so cool. Everyone was so supportive. There was no like competitive urge. I didn't feel like anyone was trying to like one-up each other. I feel like everyone was trying to help each other out. The instructors were all really great. They were still figuring their stuff out and there were glitches here and there, but I feel like that they did a really great job. I feel like the money was totally well spent. All in all, I feel like I had a goal in mind and they totally delivered on that. I think the great things about Prime are that it gives you the cohort, which is a group of people who are going through exactly what you're going through, which is so hard to find. You know, I mean, you can learn how to code on your own, I think.
Yeah.
But it's such an isolating experience. And it seems like everyone's so far beyond what you're doing that you're never going to get there. But when you're in Prime, it's like, you know, 20 other people who are just as, you know, they're noobs just like you are. And so you can ask them the dumbest questions and someone either has a pretty good answer or they're like, hey, that's a really good question. Like, I never thought about that. And you can help each other figure it out. So that's a huge thing that it does. And then it gives you this great atmosphere to do that stuff in. Because even though Prime like offers the instructors, like in the end, you have to learn this stuff. I mean, the onus is on you to learn and to challenge yourself and to push yourself. So Prime provides these sort of intangible aspects. And then all the other things like the soft skills, the interviews, the public speaking, and like a whole host of other things that I'm forgetting, and like the peanut butter and banana sandwiches and the cereal and that stuff and the camaraderie. Like, it provides all these other things that you can't get on the internet and that are so vital to like keeping you in it and keeping you moving forwards and all this stuff. So
the ramen soup.
Yeah, the ramen and the hanging chairs and the dog and the board games and the stuff like that. So
you just mentioned being stressed out and all that. How did you keep yourself calm? What did you do to, you know, avoid losing your mind in this immersion program? I mean, because you and I were on campus for a while together, even though we were not on the same cohort. But I remember arriving in the mornings and you were already there and kind of meditating every morning or with your eyes closed. What looked to me, it looked to me as a meditation kind of thing. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of things that I did outside of that, but I'll definitely talk about that. Yeah, well, I mean, I think when I went into Prime, I had heard a lot about these West Coast coding programs that are like super intense, where you're like coding 80 hours a week. And I like thought that Prime was going to be like that. And I think it can be like that, but I almost felt that one of the things that was biggest for me was I would go to Prime. I would code when I was at Prime, you know, I'd be there from this eight until five usually. And I would code when I was at Prime, but I'd come home and I'd usually just let it go. I think there were a couple nights where maybe towards the beginning where I did coding exercises after Prime, but I actually felt like I took it pretty easy. And I feel like that was a big part of keeping my mental health intact. I really tried to like not burn myself out. I kept all my old habits. So like I tried to sleep like 8 hours a night. Like I went running three times a week. You know, I kept my old exercise and sleep routines. Like I didn't pull any all nighters. Like I didn't like code like 12 or 15 hours a day. You know, I made sure that I like ate well and, you know, like had breakfast and dinner and like hung out with friends and like hung out with my partner. And so, you know, I didn't actually allow it to change my life too radically much, except for during the day when I was coding. And then, yeah, like I meditated at Prime every morning. I meditate now. I actually didn't meditate very much before Prime. I made this like conscious decision.
Okay.
Especially because like Prime started, I think, at like 8:30. So like I'd get to Prime at 8 and I'd have this half an hour to kill. And so I was like, well, you know, I might as well spend it doing something at least relatively productive or constructive. So yeah, I'd just like sit there and every now and then, like I'd be pretty tired and actually just like fall asleep, but essentially like sitting up.
Oh, so you were asleep, like, you were not meditating.
Occasionally. It happened maybe once or twice, but yeah, most of the time I was meditating. I don't actually know if it helped that much. Like I wouldn't say like if you're going to a coding bootcamp, like you have to meditate before every day, but it was like something that I tried and like, I don't know. Maybe it helped. Maybe it didn't. Like, I was still pretty stressed out, but it makes me wonder if I hadn't meditated, like I might have just totally lost it halfway through. It's worth a shot.
So you just talk about your experience there. And one question that I like to ask is if you had a lowest point during the program.
I wouldn't say there was any point where I was like really despairing, but there was definitely some points where maybe towards the middle where we got into some of the more advanced concepts. And well, okay, so I mentioned earlier that I had all this time before Prime where I was doing Codecademy and I was doing Code Wars, and a lot of that was really basic sort of algorithmic programming. So it was like they give you sort of maybe a mathy problem or sort of a data structure problem, and you write like one or two functions that would solve it. And it was a lot of it was like, solve this in sort of a clever way or in a way that was able to be solved very, really quickly. And so when we came in and we're doing the sort of basic JavaScript stuff, like the first week or two, I sort of had a leg up on other folks because I'd been doing this stuff constantly for the last 4 months, whereas everyone else had a real job and was actually working. And I was like sitting in other people's houses and doing Code Wars. So I like knew how objects worked and I had like a pretty good handle on functions. So I felt really good about myself. But then around like week, I don't know, maybe like four or five, when we started doing things like writing servers and working with the database, like I was just on par with everyone else. And I started to kind of flip out because I felt like I was really far behind. So that was kind of tough. So yeah, that those couple months where I was had time to do Codecademy and so on, like it was kind of a blessing and a curse because it sort of inflated my expectations of how good I was going to be later on when I ended up being, you know, maybe about as good as everyone else, maybe not as good at certain things. But then I just, you know, I just kind of kept doing it and kept learning it and I got through it and it ended up being okay.
Okay. And what about your highest point during the program?
Oh man.
Did you have one or a couple of them?
This isn't really coding related, but we did a lot of talks in my cohort, a lot of getting up and giving speeches. And it was really cool seeing everyone give these talks about things that were people give talks about some pretty heavy topics and some things that were pretty personal. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, as an adult, you don't usually get to see that. And a lot of folks came to Prime in sort of a similar state where they were like, not super happy with their careers and were pretty anxious, but knew that they needed a change, didn't know what the future was going to look like. Like maybe it had some pretty
bad things happen to them relatively bad things happen to them within the last couple of years. And it was good to see people like let their guards down and be like, man, like, you know, I'm making this huge investment. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that I enjoy coding. And yeah, to have people open up like that was really cool. Also, when we did our interviews and talking with, you know, senior developers or hiring managers and having these people take us seriously, or, you know, at least pretend to take us seriously, that was pretty cool, you know, like to be able to tell them about our personal projects or our group projects and have them listen and nod. And every now and then someone would be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I'd like to see that. And then you show it to them and they kind of like, you know, look at what you're doing and seem genuinely interested. Like that was pretty mind blowing. So I'd say that was one of the high points for sure.
What would you say was the most important thing that you learned during your tenure there?
I guess to just sort of cultivate this mindset of always be learning. Like, forgive yourself when you make mistakes and just allow yourself to learn from your mistakes. I think a lot of us have grown up in a period where, like, if you get one F on a test or you fail a class, like, that's it. Like, you're done. You're not going to get into the college that you want to get into. You're not going to get the job that you want to do. And at Prime, it was like, you know, you do what you do. If you don't do it perfectly, you know, there'll be someone who will point it out to you, help you out with it. And then you fix it and you've just learned something and you continue on with that and you continue on with that mindset. And then you find the things that you think are cool. You know, you be curious, you say, oh, I'd like to go learn this framework or I'd like to go learn this other technology. And the teachers are just like, sweet, you know, go for it. And then you're in charge of your own learning. And I think that was a big part of the education at Prime, that your education is in your hands, that your motivation is your sole direction. I think that helped out a lot. I think that's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah, I think this type of educational non-regular program that they have, it's very helpful for people because it focuses on learning instead of, you know, like you just said, grades and all that.
Yeah.
You just mentioned at the beginning of the interview how, you know, you spend some time unemployed. And after Prime, after the immersion program, you had to go out there and start, you know, applying for jobs in a new career. So how was that experience for you?
Yeah. Well, I had actually started applying for jobs, I think about a month before Prime got out. I was really anxious about getting a job because I was running really low on money. So I was actually applying sort of slowly around the time that we started our group projects. So yeah, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks before Prime let out. And I didn't get any hits, but then yeah, once Prime was over, I was like applying like mad. Yeah, I was really anxious. I mean, I was really anxious. I wasn't sure whether I was going to get a job. I was applying, I was probably sending out about, I wasn't sending, I was, you know, they tell us to send out 15 applications a day and there's no way I was doing that. I was probably sending out 3 to 5 applications a day.
I have heard that too, 10 or 15, which seems, I mean, I don't know, for me, that sounds a little crazy, but maybe, you know, some people actually do it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even possible, but I was sending about 3 to 5 per day. And then I was spending some time, you know, learning some stuff, watching YouTube videos, trying to just look into other things that I was interested in. But yeah, that was a really nerve-wracking time. And I'd say there must have been, I don't remember the full number, but I think it was probably around 40 or 50 applications that I sent out. I think I got 2 and maybe 3 in-person interviews. I got a couple of phone interviews, maybe only 3 in-person interviews. And, you know, just a lot of radio silence. But yeah, I was incredibly fortunate because I ended up getting accepted. The position I ended up getting was at a company that I spoke with at Prime. So it was during the interviews in that last week. It was one of the companies that came in. And so it was actually a pretty quick turnover. I think there was only 3 weeks after I left Prime until I got hired, essentially. And that's not, I don't think that's standard.
Yeah, no.
So I felt pretty fortunate.
Very good timing for you.
Yeah.
What is your role at your current job?
I'm a developer. I think my specific role is applications developer. But I had to learn Rails for this position, which was a pretty big leap from the mean stack in JavaScript, but there are plenty of things that translated over, but Rails is very different from like creating a node server and working in Angular. I primarily create, I contribute to applications that are written in Rails.
Okay, so you're working with technologies that you did not learn during your, coding program.
Yeah.
And this sure. is one of the most interesting things for newcomers, because at this immersion program at Prime, everything is based upon JavaScript.
Yeah.
But many developers go out there and start working using other technologies that they didn't actually learn there. So what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, learning Rails was really hard because it's so different. I was fortunate in that we're creating internal tools. So it's not like there's any client like looking over our shoulder saying, this needs to be done right now. I need this on Friday. It was sort of like, we're creating this thing. It'll be used eventually. I was sort of able to learn very slowly. But yeah, it was tough. But yeah, after a certain point, like all the concepts we learned sort of clicked into place. I felt like if I had not gone to Prime, it would have been much, 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 much more difficult. But, learning things like basic shell commands, those translated over, perfectly. Learning SQL, that translated over. We used SQL databases. And most programming languages, like, a lot of the basic functions and a lot of the basic operations in Ruby are pretty similar to JavaScript. So it's really the higher level stuff that's a bit different. But then there's plenty of... Well, and it's the thing at Prime, right, is you learn how to figure stuff out. You learn how to go on Stack Overflow. You learn how to read forums. You learn how to read error messages. And aside, once you can get past sort of the cosmetic differences between a node error message and a rack error message or an active record error message, you learn how to parse out what's important and how to ignore what's not important, or how to figure out that what you thought was important 5 minutes ago actually isn't important, and what you thought wasn't important 5 minutes ago actually is what's important. And so, yeah, it's sort of these higher level things, and those are totally transferable. Yeah, I would say that the concepts, maybe not the languages or the technology specifically, but a lot of the concepts and the higher level abilities that I learned at Prime were absolutely applicable to learning Rails and to my job now.
How is the employer support in this case? Because those things, like you just said, you got your job and you started learning this new language, which is Ruby. How was your employer support for you?
Because Ruby?
Because, that's something that you were not familiar with, I assume.
Yeah.
And, some companies just want people who already know their framework, their languages they work with, and they don't want to spend time, mentoring entry-level developers. So in your case, I guess you were fortunate enough to land a job in a place where they are supportive enough.
Yeah, I don't know if supportive is the right word. I'm sure some places are supportive. My particular situation, my boss was just very hands-off. He was sort of like, figure it out. So we had a lot of time, and a lot of it was just me banging my head against the wall. Luckily, there was another senior developer on the team who was a pretty experienced Rails developer, and he would help me from time to time, but a lot of the onus was on me to learn Rails. And I think, going back to what I said about Prime was, at Prime, they hold your hand for a couple weeks, but then at a certain point, you're just sort of thrown in to figure stuff out. And that's exactly what I found at my job. It was just thrown in and start swimming. But yeah, at the time, it was tough, and it felt like I was drowning. But also, definitely looking back, like, I've learned a pretty immense amount over the last 9 months. So I almost want to say that I got support. I'm not going to say that I didn't get support, but it was not hand-holding. There was definitely some parts where I felt like I was totally on my own. And I would say that in the end, those ended up benefiting me probably, or maybe scarring me, one or the other. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, but I mean, they gave you the chance. You were already hired when you started doing that. Some people don't even get that chance, like, to, oh, sure, I'm pretty sure you can learn this by yourself. Here, we're going to take you.
No, that is very true. I was given the chance. I guess maybe I'm being a bit pessimistic, but that was a huge leap for them to allow me to come in and with no Rails experience, no Ruby experience, and allow me to spend literally months just learning Rails on their dime.
Yeah, that's sweet. What former experience do you think has helped you in your career as a developer?
I have thought about this, like in terms of working as a lab technician, was there anything in particular that transferred over into coding and maybe sort of the procedural aspect? I mean, as a lab tech, you need to do this part and then this part and then the next part and the next part. And, you know, there's troubleshooting in there. And, you know, so much of coding is troubleshooting. It's, you know, breaking it and seeing why it didn't break and then changing one thing and seeing if it fixes it or if it breaks in a different way, that sort of experimental aspect. I also like to think that, you know, writing fiction, I think there are some aspects that transfer over there. I mean, when you're writing a program, you kind of need to keep the whole structure in your mind while you're working on a small piece. On a very abstract level, writing fiction is very similar. You need to keep the whole structure of the novel, both sort of in your mind, but it's sort of compartmentalized away while you work on one tiny piece. And, you know, all the pieces need to fit together. So in a similar way, when you're writing an application with various controllers and models and views, and you need to be able to access how a controller speaks to a model or how a certain function is going to be called in a certain state and a certain view. I think maybe exercising those parts of my mind have transferred over. But, you know, in a certain way, like everything you're learning while you're coding is new. And it's oftentimes just totally new ways of thinking.
Okay. And what are your goals moving forward?
Yeah, I think I'm the kind of person that thinks very day to day. I have sort of vague goals. I mean, I know that I enjoy coding. I know that I enjoy working as a developer. I know that it's something that I'd like to do at least for the next couple of years. I mean, like, honestly, maybe, you know, when I got out of Prime, like, my first goal was just to, like, make back the money that I spent on Prime. And I, honestly, when Prime was done, like, I wasn't 100% sure whether that was going to actually happen. And now that that's happened, like, it's just sort of cream from here on out, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, you know, I take it day by day. I enjoy the job that I have. I'm still learning an immense amount. I mean, I know I've become a better developer since the first day on my job, but I still feel like I'm just as clueless and just as bad as a developer as my first job. And like everything seems just as challenging and just as hard as my first day as a developer. So I think I'm going to keep doing this job and the challenge goes away, which will probably be never. So something else will probably have to interfere. Yeah, I mean, since I got out of Prime, I've sort of developed an interest in analytics and data science, which is, you know, involves programming, but is not, it's pretty different from web development in a lot of ways. So that's something that I sort of do on the side. And I'm interested in, hopefully in the near future, getting a job that involves both web development and analytics to some extent. And, you know, I still do hope that one day I could do something involving research, whether it's developing software for research or doing web development for a company that does research. You know, who knows, maybe going back and doing some more school or something. So those are sort of my vague ideas.
At the end, you could end up, you know, becoming a researcher in a different field.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm leaving. I hope to leave all of those options open to myself. But yeah, you know, right now it's just like, yeah, I'm just like looking at how I can finish like the project that I'm working on at work and what the next one might be, and hopefully making up enough money so that I can take some time off and write fiction again full time at some point.
What would you say to people who are thinking about starting a career in development?
Oh, man. That's tough because it's the kind of thing, like, I don't want to just tell everyone to go do it, right? Like, I wouldn't just go up to every single person and be like, you should learn how to code. You should learn how to code. Because I don't think it is for everyone. Like, I think there are certain people who would really enjoy it and find it really rewarding and find the challenges of coding and like the amount of effort that it takes worthwhile. And they're totally people who would be like, why would anyone ever do this? So I think the first thing is like, figure out whether you actually enjoy the process or not. Like, do a bunch of coding and just make sure that you enjoy every aspect of it. Like, not just getting a program to work, but process of figuring out what your errors are, the process of like learning something you totally don't understand, the process of working with other people. Because that's what you're going to be doing. Like, if you're going to be a web developer, like, that's what you're going to be doing. Honestly, when I applied to Prime, like, I had very little understanding of what it was going to be like to actually work as a developer. And it was only over the period through Prime, and it was only during the first couple of months of working that I actually realized that, like, okay, this is something I could probably do long term. This is an occupation where I find that the rewards are worth the challenges, at least most of the time. So I would say, you know, do it, make sure you like it. If you think you don't like it, make sure you've coded enough to know what it's actually like. But if you do it, if you do code and you do find that you enjoy it and you think it's something that you would like to do as an occupation, then I say go for it. Like, just hit it hard, like run it like a marathon, just set a solid pace for yourself. It's such terrible advice. Just stick with it. But you just have to, yeah, you just have to have like this immense amount of faith in yourself, I think. You have to have this immense amount of faith that like you can do it, that everyone who's doing it has gone through the struggle that you're going through, and that the rewards are totally worth it. I mean, it's really enjoyable. The occupational rewards are very good. I'm very happy, and I think a lot of people are with the careers that they've ended up with. Yeah, just find other people to talk with it about. It can be very isolating, and having other people around you that are going through the same thing as you, which places like Prime provide, can be that last little piece that can get you over that hurdle.
Okay, Sam, do you have any final thoughts before we end up this interview?
No, thank you so much for inviting me to talk. And
do you have anything to plug? Your social media? I don't know, Twitter. Some people actually care about that. That's why I always ask.
No, I think my only plug is get rid of your social media. Yeah, I don't have a Facebook and I don't have a Twitter. And the quality of my life has increased quite a bit since then. So that's my plug. I'm on Quora. I actually today I wrote a question about coding bootcamps on Quora. So, you can find me on Quora if you're an aspiring web developer, by all means, if folks want to contact me about Prime or learning web development or questions about the process or other things like that, like feel free to send me an email. Send me a message on LinkedIn or on Quora, because I'm more than happy to talk with folks about that process and offer any advice or consolation on that.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Manu.
Thanks again to Sam for joining me today. The resource of the day is courtesy of Sam himself, and that's Code Wars. As you could listen during the episode, he explained what Code Wars is, and if you would like to know more about it, go to codewars.com and start some of the challenges in JavaScript, PHP, Python, and more. And that's it for today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast and visit newdeveloperpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week with a brand new episode of the New Developer Podcast. DevOps!